Okay, Jillian, by all means, dear, how would you like to start tonight? Is it me or on your side, Jillian? I
You're
can't hear.
muted,
Oh,
Jillian.
there.
Thank you. I'm going to jump right into the disaffected males that you talked about.
Yes.
That's an awful image I'd like to, because I spend a lot of my time and energy dealing with the fallout from those folks, and it's very
Yeah.
hard. It's very hard for me to keep an open heart with them when they want to do things like take away women's choice, and be racist, sexist, xenophobic pigs, not to be judgmental. But I mean, how that is my
Positive
experience.
use. That's the positive use of verbal aggression right there. So,
There's no passive aggressive in my house.
no.
But I'm really wondering what would be productive, because I know that when I am out, I'm out in the community. I engage. I do a lot of work on behalf of the environment and on women's issues. And so I tend to be literally out on the street or in booths or whatever. And the amount of vitriol is, and the amount of power they have, is, it's very off-putting. And I honestly don't care if they feel alienated. Honestly, I just want them out. I mean, I've got to be honest. I don't have sympathy for them. I don't. I know that, on the bigger picture, I should. And I'm sure that there's, that they mirror something for me, I'm sure. But just how to be productive in dealing with them. I don't want to hurt them. I don't have, I mean, but I mean, it's just very, very difficult to say, all these people need, it's like, they're just god awful. And so I really am. I want to understand, what would be supportive of them. And, and I feel like this is such a shitty way to be, to say what would be supportive of them and help them to change. Because that's also lousy.
Well, that orientation, if we might jump in, will you, first of all, we want to make sure we didn't cut you off.
No. I talked more than I wanted to, but it's like I keep hearing we've got to be, supportive, and it's like
No,
interviewing,
we're not suggesting that anybody becomes an enabler or anybody continues to tiptoe. In fact, we're suggesting exactly the opposite. But we are saying that the dispassion of pragmatism, you know that you can you are a fiery little white hot sun, who when stirred up, can really shine and also really burn. That is one of your assets, not one of your hindrances. All we're suggesting is that on a general level, on an individual level, whenever you run into one of these men who are gen who often many of these men are not openly hostile. They're actually most of the time just kind of sheepish afraid, or they're in their persona, And to the degree to which you can find anything at all that gives them any kind of human acknowledgement, just on the simplest level. Hey, thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. You are a person who's big on thank yous, for instance. It's amazing how many of these men are so, by the way, we want to acknowledge that many of this, let's even call this energy of masculinity, this dark side masculinity, not just because it wouldn't, we don't want to just put it in a sense of just males, because as there are a number of women out there who buy into that same kind of and generally, yes, they are baby and young soul, often undereducated, or they have an economic advantage and a privileged chip on their shoulder, all of which allows them to stay in a fixated mode and be relatively impersonal and feel superior. to the degree to which you do not express you feeling intimidated and just standing yourself and being yourself and finding anything you can in that conversation to acknowledge their humanity, even in the presence of them being a jerk, including saying, you know, that must be, you know, I don't know how you maintain that, but it's got to be hard because it certainly feels like a pretty nasty way to be. Just even acknowledging that is piercing the bubble a little bit. Most of these men are so desperate to find some level of approval in the world. And we're not suggesting that you or anyone else here has to go out and, you know, give them benediction, you know, oh, you're an okay guy, you're an okay guy, you're an okay guy. We don't mean that at all, but rather that when encountering men of this nature, understand that they're already coming from powerlessness and victimhood, and a great deal of that feeling of learned helplessness and for them, imposed helplessness. And the reason Trump and Republicanism and that kind of conservatism gives them solace is it's a certainty they don't have on a personal level. So being able to cite something that you see in them personally and pierce all the arguments and pierce all the personas. Again, just a moment of thank you. Appreciate it. Sorry, not my way of, you know, being, man, you know, whatever. That's hard. Just even pinpricking those little things, a thousand of those little pinpricks are the kind of things that are going to deflate these guys over time. Because many of these people, again, are of a soul age who are feeling that evolutionary pull, and they're not even particularly conscious of the entirety of what it's doing to their psyche. They are in aggregate in this, you know, in this cycle of evolutionary change. Now, what it calls upon you and everyone else to do is just not agree, but go around and go after their leadership, not them directly. Because if it were going to be a one-on-one fight, you know, so many of you first wouldn't even enter the thick in the fray, or you would just be overwhelmed by their attacks. Instead, go around them because, you know, as the old adage goes, you know, in a battle of wits, they are essentially unarmed. So go to the top, but continue to affirm their humanity, their right for dignity. Even if they think their right for dignity means demeaning somebody else, you don't acknowledge that demeaning somebody else. You say, that's a pretty horrible way to get it, man, because somebody can take it from you. Isn't that what you're complaining about? You think somebody's taking it from you? You know, to continue to punch holes in the game and to continue to punch holes in that consciousness to begin to diminish that. Because, of course, across the world, these men. And even these women who are masculine energy men who feel like they have to hold on to that old traditional paradigm, are being crushed by it. So, on a personal level, Jillian, if you feel like you need to gotta go scrap, but you already punch above your weight to, you know, use a metaphor, right? You go into the seats of power and you punch. So don't worry so much about the cogs and the grains of sand, but to the degree to which you don't get angry at their individual flawed and foibleness, take that anger and continue to punch above your weight. Because when those icons collapse, a whole lot of those, you know, those feet of clay that they have and the pillars of sand that they stand on just give way. What's happening is exactly the opposite right now. People are getting back on board with Trump because they're thinking there's no other way. Now, the good news is that you're actually starting to see the sage in this, starting to, you know, also punch back rather than just do acceptance like he's done, because he's in
Yeah.
acceptance.
And more people are actually going toward Biden at this point, but it is very discouraging to go to events
Yeah.
and have these. When you said prick, it really I know you said to prick this, but the word prick, anyway, they, you know, they
We're
will
glad we could appeal to your sage sense of wordplay there. Yeah.
exactly. No, it's just they're abusive to people, and then I get in the middle of it because it's like, don't treat people like that, you know, and they don't have any idea what people like me could do to them. But they're, you know, I just can't stand by and watch them be assholes. But fine.
And we're not asking you to. In fact, feel free. It's an aggression. It's an aggression year. Just keep your head. And by keep your head, we also mean keep it on your shoulders. Because you're right. In the extreme, a lot of those people are crazy and they will go to violence.
Yes, they
Because
carry
they are,
guns.
yeah. And so, yes, they carry guns. You know, they'll get, and it doesn't matter that, you know, you're a 5 foot woman. It doesn't matter, you know,
In
because
heels.
that's how, I beg your pardon?
In heels.
In heels. Very good. So.
No, thank you. I didn't mean to take too much. It was just one that stuck out as like it's a weird thing to have in the middle of the Michael thing. But anyway, I'm good.
It's absolutely naming what's present.
Yeah.
And that is of course what we're suggesting. You know, love and compassion is sometimes stern.
Thank you.
Certainly. So, who's next? Anyone?
I hope
Okay.
I didn't chill the
No, we notice that a lot of old souls find their voices really tied up right now. They don't want to embark on anything that sounds hostile or negative. And yet, what we've been trying to suggest by a lot of these energies is that you're being shoved there. In other words, it's about taking a stand. We'll quote another famous old soul sage, Oscar Wilde. He said, life is a lot like art. Sometimes you just have to start by drawing a line. And in his inimical, and we do mean inimical way, his brilliance at coining a phrase, but also making a point is absolutely, astonishingly clear there. It's drawing a line. And that is one of the things about people mistake about the concept of neutrality. They think it's indifference and they think that it's somehow disengagement, when in fact, what they do is neuter themselves. And of course, people who are neutered and or decide that they're going to be bystanders don't realize that history is full of those times. And we see your hand, Terry. We'll get there in just a moment. Thank you, by the way. That, when there are times in human history, including major soul ages transitions, there is no such thing really as neutrality on the physical plane. There isn't. There is participation one way or the other, including inactivity that then leads to the outcomes. All right. So, Terry, go right ahead. Terry Benning, are you there?
Unmute. Okay.
There we go.
I had to unmute myself and then I have to unmute my throat because I haven't been talking to anybody through this whole thing. Clearing my
We'd offer
throat.
you a lozenge, but we can't quite get it, through the time-space continuum. Please continue.
Yeah. Well, you know, my take on this whole thing is as I've gotten older, I have less energy for bullshit, basically.
Exactly.
And
Ultimately, that's
I
true.
don't have the don't have the attention units for it, you know, but I just
Right.
don't. And so, you know, I like to be informed. I like to know what's going on, but I tend to maybe create some kind of I create distance from it to a point by choosing what do I want to feel? What do I want to feel? This is my life. I don't want to be dictated to by the craziness of the external world. And I'm fortunate because I'm retired and I don't have to be out in the craziness of the external world like Jillian is, or other people have to be. But for myself, I feel like it comes down to an internal choice of either participating in the drama or not. And I'm kind of about not participating in the drama and moving into spaces that I want to create for my future, like who am I becoming? What am I becoming? And that's part of my interest with the AI stuff that I've been doing. It's exploring all these different parts of who I can be, or who I might want to be, or places I want to, integrate into myself. I have not, I've thought about it, but I haven't done it yet. I haven't made myself a man. That I have not done. That's it. But I thought about it recently, just to kind of explore that side of things. But I don't know. My point is, I think my point is that I feel like, yeah, I just don't want to participate in it. But I'm an old artisan, six level old artisan, and so maybe you could talk a little bit about how the different roles might respond to this. That might be interesting.
We'll do that, and we'll also talk about soul ages and the trends of the world. In and of themselves, there are plenty of artisans who can be scrappy and engaging and so forth at even at all levels of soul age.
I have
But
a moon in Scorpio, so
yeah,
I can get in there if I need,
well
and
then,
warrior cast, right? So.
and therein lies the next piece, because we're not suggesting that any of you go out and actively pick a fight. No, that's
No,
negative
no,
pole
no.
aggression as well, verbal or let alone physical. But what we are saying is, as the time compression and as the era compression continues to go, there is more of this as that's going to be brought to your doorstep. Now, warriors in and of themselves, may see themselves as absolutely ready to, have a bastion around, or a fortress around themselves. A king may or may, and now let's, by the way, let's say old soul from, fifth level up, so in other words, old, really old farts, like, old soul farts, like, you and Steve and a few of you in this room here, right? That, are just like, you're just kind of looking up and you're just going, cycling off just a few more lives, and so forth, right? You see this aspiration for a level of disengagement, and yet as the security of your world begins to shrink, it's about investigating yourself inward and literally finding where your threshold is. Because as you know, Harry, your threshold can be reached. Everyone can, and everyone does have a threshold. The question is to be clear about what it is and to even anticipate it, because it's going to continue to have time, pressure crunch out in the world. And then at which point, where do you stop backing up and disengaging and disengaging and just say, all right, I'm taking a stand in whatever way I can.
Oh
Now,
yeah, I definitely have a point. I have those points.
the
Definitely.
other thing is that we absolutely agree, especially for you as an artisan who likes to create relationships that are that are harmonious and peaceable and and full of pleasant engagement. You're a very sagey artisan in your own way.
I've been
You
told
love a
that,
good
yeah.
you you're very
Yeah.
you like a good joke, you like to banter, all that kind of stuff. Is engage people at that level, that when you encounter them, because
Okay.
that is a facility for creating the kind of interactions you want on a large scale, but it also is a really, really simple way to help diffuse, even if it was just 20% of the tension off the surface, that diffusion does help.
I
And it
want to
is a
say something about vibration that you were talking about. I think this is really
Go
important, that
ahead.
vibrational thing.
Yes.
I have an old friend from high school. We were in horse clubs together and everything. We didn't see each other for a lot of years, but we've come across one another again. And she keeps inviting me to get together with her. And I've gotten together with her once. It took a lot of finagling and going up against a lot of energy to make it happen. And then I find out like she's really into Trump. Okay. After all these years, and we were like really close friends, you know. So we're having lunch, and she does, but to her credit, she must be an older, mature soul somewhere in there, because she wasn't about thumping it, you know. She wasn't gonna thump it. She just thumped the Trump, you know. She wasn't gonna do that. But every time I try to get together with her, there's this vibrational weirdness that we're just not in each other's universe.
Yeah, right.
Something comes up to screw up the plans, you know? And, you know, it can be on her side or my side. And we keep trying to get together, and it's just not happening because we're just not in the same world anymore. And we were best friends, close friends, when we were young, you know. So that's part of the damage. Well, I don't know if I call it damage. Don't know what other, but diversity of experience or something, right?
Well, you know, it depends. I mean, I imagine that this your friend and you, if you were to be talking about really personally important things,
Yeah.
your kids, your griefs, your the new love in your life, those kind of things, where the scope of it can access a higher vibrational tone.
Yeah. And she wants to do that. She when she saw that I was in a relationship, she wants to get together now, the two of us and our husbands, you know, our significant other, her husband, my boyfriend. But it's still the same dynamic. It's
Yeah.
really hard to make it happen because we're not naturally flowing toward one another. You know, it's an
Well,
effort.
we'd say your insight is certainly as concisely stated, and we wouldn't disagree with it, because when you have those vibrational mismatches, people are not going to be able to really maintain with each other very long.
Yeah, I mean, and now we've got platforms coming up, and God knows where we're wrong too, you know. But anyway, yeah, I just wanted to mention that about frequency because, you know, we had enough heart connection that we were trying to make a connection, but, you know, we just couldn't, you know. It's weird. Whereas with other people, things just flow, you know, that are, we just flow. So people are definitely creating their own universes, that's for sure. And
We would
sometimes, you know,
agree.
you're just not welcome there
It
for
sometimes
whatever
it's just
reason.
exactly. Sometimes it's, and this is where, Terry, to just be specify for the group here, where we differentiate, even though in physics they might use the term frequency and vibration, same. Through us, our metaphysical definition is a lightness and a density as opposed to a pace, and a harmonic of, can be very agitating, where a person can have a lightness of being. Even, we talk about our old friend down there, Joe Bates, basically what, a 22 frequency. And yet a really high level of standard vibration, non-dense, expansive and calm. And yet his pace is do-dum, 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 do-dum. But it's at an altitude or elevation that's very high. It's 20. Thank you, Joe, for the clarification.
You know, Terry, I'm also wondering, what I'm getting is that your friend might be reaching for where you are. She sees that that's the next step. and she's reaching for it, and you're not down here with her, but she's trying to reach up. And it might be something to consider that you're there to pull a hand up. You're there to grasp her hand and pull her up.
That's and we
Yeah,
would
that's a really good that's a really good point, you
and
know.
we know you as a channel, Terry, have heard of that planetary theme in general, right? It's not a
Yeah.
new concept that that beings who are of younger soul age, whether they even if they're doing it, aggressively, assertively, or surreptitiously, and they're certainly not probably at all very conscious about it. But that at some level, they're trying to match that higher level of consciousness because every being here really does want the planet to advance. But on the animal level, they don't all have the same models that say it can advance unless it's a big step backwards, right? And then the good old days and that notion.
Right. I think that's kind of what she's trying to do is to pull in the affinity we had when we were younger.
Right,
Which
exactly. That's thank you, Jean, for
is
that
it's
input.
in there. It's in there, but you know, it's just not active. But
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
I like the feedback, Jean. Thank you. And also M's and Steve.
Good
Yeah.
work.
That was helpful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Catherine Schwinger, you're up. And you're also on mute.
I'd like to go back to something you focused on earlier about the physicality of this year.
Yes.
And I don't know if it's just my age and the age of people I'm associated with, or if it's a general thing, but I'm noticing an awful lot of health issues coming forward in many different people at many different times, young and older. And I'm wondering, is it just their appearance that's happening, or is this so that there's also a way of resolution? Are they coming up to be resolved, or are they coming up because they re represent the energy of the time?
So both personally and planetarily, of course, we all those of you who have been with Joe and Catherine in these first few months know of discovery of Joe's condition that is something for his healing to definitely be resolved, but it was building up in his body as a potential means for his timeline to take him out. There is another planetary piece to this besides instances of individuals. Even the fusion of your neck is one of those situational advancements for you to be able to have good remainder of your life rather than, suffer the potential of collapsing down and losing a few inches of height, right? Let alone be in a lot of pain. But there's another piece to this again on the global level, and that is it is this intersection of many people, especially young people, who are getting ill from the environmental issues of the polluted planet. And what that is, ha what's happening on that is again another split on that is some of them are having access to a healthcare system and they're being amazed at what they can find, and a whole swath of society is being shown all these miracles possible, cures or medical interventions or what have you, but because of the way that healthcare is doled and dispensed in a market economy, they're being handled or denied or minimized on what they can have, and this is building a pressure in that segment of human society about equality to who gets what and to who can get well. Now, a lot of folks who are having health issues that have made themselves known since December, a lot of these came in at various nexuses. There was two in January, three in February, two last month, and there's going to be three again this month. And each time, few people actually had, miraculous improvements. Jillian had some stuff happen for her in February that really knocked her down, and then all of a sudden, in the middle of March, things started to improve. So there were situations where there was convergences that brought in more healed aspects and stuff. But the purpose of some of these things were the fact that it is exposing on a global level, global, at least on the American level, these healthcare disparities. And on personal levels, many of them are coming up like Joe to be able to say, okay, and for you, for that matter, to a certain degree, let's get whatever blockages are maybe in your body. And some of you have good enough insurances that you can take advantage of the best of the healthcare system in this parallel. There are other parallels where it's not working so well. For all the things that, people could say that they're afraid of or curious about or concerned about the potential for this parallel, there's still a lot of benefit and hope and positive motion going on here. It's being drowned out by a lot of really desperate, deep and yucky, high volume, low vibration tones. And it's not just focusing on the positive, it is literally assessing how many things are in fact working, instead of falling back into, the woe is me, like a lot of those men that we talked about earlier. See, those men are at a paradigm shift for themselves in a soul age that really can't make sense of it. But also in real world conditions, they're not in a good place to be able to cope with things. They're just not. Not because they're even bad men or bad people, but because they're stuck with these intersections of, evolutionary forces that are all then putting this pressure on them. So for you on the healthcare system, and or for Joe, healing and like that, for a number of people who are getting ill, it's the result literally of environmental disruptions that are happening to their bodies, and it's putting a mirror to this interesting dichotomy. The healthcare system has an amazing number of treatments for different kinds of conditions, and a number of categorizations for conditions that is far beyond the pale of anybody's imagination. Take, for instance, Amy Goodrich, some of you know in here, has a condition called Hallé-Hallé, which is like 5,000, 10,000 people in the entire world. But it's diagnosed. It's symptomology-based, is acknowledged. It's real. It's not just her being crazy, as in the old days of medical science, they would just dismiss a person because they didn't know. Nowadays, at least they can put a name container around it. And there are some things that they could at least begin to enter into to doing some things. But that also shows on the downside that unless a person like Amy, who happens to be in an economic circumstance where she can have access to all this healthcare, a lot of people aren't and can't. And they're being marginalized and discriminated against, all because of economics and not because of their worthiness as human beings. And that will also add pressure for social evolution and change. Did that answer your question, or at least some of it?
It answered it. Thank you. Yes, it was good.
All right. Very good. Very good. And of course, your other half often... you and he tag team each other so frequently. So, of course. Hello, Joe. What do you know?
Well, she's the better half. I'm the lower half.
We're not touching that one, Joe.
I was listening to Julia and I sympathize with those things that she brought up. But and of course I have some background that most people in the room can't possibly have had that experience. And I was in the Army for 25 years.
Very masculine military warrior experience that gives you a tremendous level of credibility, even in your vibration.
Right. But there's another thing, too. There were all kinds of people who would come up, and a lieutenant was going to give me some crap and all that. Yes, sir, three bags full and move on. And
Three bags full.
seriously, I did that a number of times, or just say yes, sir, and done. It's done. They're not going to bother me. They're not going to move me. They can't, and they can't move you either. You got to have that understanding that they can't move you. Only you can move you. Only you can do it. And take hold of that and work with it, because it takes some understanding of when you can and when you can't, that kind of thing. But it's a good tool. You don't have to take anything from anybody. But the other thing is that I've got something going on health-wise, and the when once we found out about it, it took shot me down for a couple of days, maybe a week. But then I realized what's different today that was than from yesterday when I didn't know about it. And nothing. And that's about
Pragmatist. Pragmatist, why
well.
the stoic?
Well, yeah, absolutely. That's pragmatic. And so what can happen from this point on? I don't know, but I'll find out, or not. It'll work out. But I wanted to bring up that thing that you do have the power to ignore somebody. You do have the power to get away from them, and you can just use it.
And we would also say, Joe, you're absolutely right. And what you seldom give yourself credit for or acknowledgement for, you also prosecute your case with a great deal of neutrality. And that is a really important thing that you may disengage from them and their emotional state and even their output, but you still plod forward on whatever pursuit or statement or whatever to get what you need done. And that
Well,
is a key strategy that you personally have implemented very well.
but that's pragmatism and a little bit of power now and then, and first one thing and another. But yeah, that happens. But it's you got to understand that people can't do anything to you. Only you can let them do something, but they can't. And it's a question of saying, I'm not going to accept it. Period.
We depending on your one's definition of that, there are plenty of attacker victim monads that go on a daily
Oh, yeah, of
basis.
course, of course.
So if you're talking about somebody getting into your psyche and tearing down your identity, we would agree with someone like Viktor Frankl, who wrote the book, Man's Search for Meaning, about his experience in the concentration camp. Ultimately, that is a true statement. But being the victim of a wildly unhinged person, or for that matter, a regime or group or mob of people, that is completely possible, even if you're not meaning to be involved. So, it is a degree to which there is self-sovereignty involved, but also animal self-preservation as well.
Well, that's all I had.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. We would also like to give a shout out to our peoples in New York, Phil and Karen, and acknowledge something and use as an example the fact that today they had an earthquake, a very unusual circumstance for that part of their world. And the reason we wanted to bring it up is because, as part of the Moving Center year, you notice that between Taiwan earlier this year and Chile, and along the California coast, to name a few, Hawaii as well, there's been an increase in the number of fairly mid to upscale or larger scale earthquakes. And on a global Earth level, because this is a physical centered year, then and it usually, whenever there's a moving centered year, physical centered year, there are Earth effects, particularly Earth shift effects, that are quite common. So we figured we would just acknowledge that you're going to see more of these this year. And one of the things that the reason that it is happening is because one of the things that has to come to ahead in people's consciousness, particularly in this country, but even across the Western world, is that one of the things that's really going to put pressure on your capitalistic economic system is that insurance companies are going to start to feel the pressure of earth disasters, that they can't cover them. So already they, pulling back out of markets, as they call it, on a purely business terminological level, means that people can't get insured where, for the last 100 years, insurance was as commonplace as a product and as a service, as people would expect. But because Earth changes, in this year, it'll be Earth changes like earthquakes, but in various parts of the world, flooding next, and then after that, fires, and then after that, hurricanes will create such levels of damage that you will see middle level companies start to actually fold or plead for federal bailouts because of the fact they can't handle the sheer magnitude of damage that is happening from, the climate change kind of induced effects. So we just thought we would mention that and acknowledge our two New Yorkers. They look like they're still sitting in their households, and that it's that they're still okay. So that's good. And we don't have any Taiwanese clients, so we wouldn't be hearing from them tonight either. In any case, so thank you for that. Jean, you have your hand up. You're next.
Yeah, I one thing that I when I see what's going on in the world, what goes through my being maybe is that systems are breaking down, and that's okay. That's what it's supposed to be. It's we're supposed to have the systems breaking down because they're
Correct.
not systems that were workable to begin with. And so it's challenging and scary and difficult, but it's not bad per se. It's just it's the I always tell people it's the storm before the calm. And the other thing I think a lot about, being an old soul, part of it is recognizing that those who are coming up and are where you used to be are need to be acknowledged as doing what they're supposed to be doing. They are behaving as infant and baby and young and mature souls. They're not behaving badly soul-wise. They're just behaving the way their soul level,
Predictably.
right. And therefore, I am not advocating for violence or for lying down and letting people behave badly towards you, but I am also saying that it is useful, I think, it for an old soul like we are, to say, oh, yeah, they're doing their thing, and to not and to reserve judgment on them personally. I can have judge I will say I have judgment as a whole, like, geez, I hate when people feel, when people behave badly. But if I run into these people, when we match up emotionally together as humans, I can see them on a human level. And I just wanted to say that. And then the third thing I wanted to say, something I've been made aware of recently, is that I think many of us are processing the energies of the world together. And oh, bye, Nan. And I have found that when I lately I've been injuring myself or when I don't feel well, I am aware that I'm processing the Earth's issues on certain levels. Like that's part of what I'm doing. And it sounds big and crazy and weird, but like I think each one of us may be doing this on certain levels, like when we're not feeling so good, that what we're doing is we're helping process stuff that's going on a vibrational level.
Exactly. The older the soul, the greater the likelihood that you are going to be a conduit, a resonance chamber for that. We talk about something called the suppress express model of emotion, or of, if you want to call it, just the pressure. And think of a water balloon that you squeeze one end and suppress that, and it inflates on the other end, right? Or a siphon. That if you suppress the water level on one side, the water level on the other is going to go up. And so the analogy you just made is very well made and very well taken, Jean. And it is happening. And concurrently, that co-resonance that you're describing is also then that is kind of a passive receptivity in the background. Where the part where volition and activity come in play is when there becomes certain crossroads where you're just even situationally involved, in proximity to something. Then, to we ask old souls to take their depth of self-awareness and go in and explore in advance. And say, really, what are genuinely my thresholds? It doesn't mean you can predict every circumstance, but you can model how intensely, when you hit a mood of a certain intensity, what happens? Do you automatically fall into automatic, kind of reactivity? Well, that you and everybody else on the planet who is unconscious. Question or the challenge that we are saying all you old souls have, especially at that this period of soul age transition, is to go in and not pretend that emotion away, but to go in, corral it, and say, this is what I will do with that emotion when I'm at that crossroads.
Right.
And do it with conscious anticipation, rather than just, fall into reactivity and so forth.
Right. The way I describe it to myself, is that I actively am transmuting that energy. I am processing it in a way that is helpful for the collective, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And that's a language that is not only welcome here, but familiar here, right? But and you're talking about it in a global sense when that happens. We're talking about in situational instances where your ability to hold that meta level perspective goes right down the toilet when circumstantial emergency is coming up. That's where self-knowledge and a level of self-discipline come into play. Think of the example of first defender, first defenders, first responders. They don't go into panic because they've been trained that in emergencies, this is what they do. And in a very real sense, it's even investigating oneself, training oneself to be in preparedness, to move into proactivity rather than to fall back into reactivity. Because even old souls are certainly capable of being freaked out and go, and then being caught up in panic. Soul age doesn't prevent the animal self potentially overriding you. And so it's from that place that we offer this statement to everyone. To go in there in advance and find it in yourself. Dig down deep. Remember those times when your threshold was taken on a scale of 1 to 10, 8, 9, 10, and say, oh my God, I fell apart then. You know what? I'm not going to fall apart this time and install that. And even if I fall apart for 5 seconds, I'm not going to stay falling apart. I'm going to do something. I'm going to say something. I'm going to take a stance. I'm going to do whatever it is. This is conscious creation, literally, in the face of knowing that you're absolutely right. You are having paradigm breakdown, systems breakdown, and being consciously prepared to meet it means that you can help co-create it and transmute the changeover rather than let a full collapse happen. Some of you know Susanna Redelson here, and you know that her Council of One, which are emissaries that we also spiritually align with and converse with, uses the terminology chaos node, of which the human race has been in one for the last 10 years. And it is still very active and it is still very present. And chaos, by definition, is not evil. It's not malicious. It's not wrong. It's essentially, in physics, disintegration and the potential for complete disorganization that happens with it. And so it's the preparation of oneself to be present in that rather than reacting to it that makes you a conscious, collaborating co-creator for the new paradigm. So go, Gene. Thank you for your statements. Much appreciated. Anyone else tonight? Got a few more minutes? Say hello to Mike Huttinger. He's here. See, he showed up. And there's, oh, we have two representations of Phil Fauché, a tree and a person. That's interesting. Okay. And, okay. Well, we don't see any more hands. All right, gang. Well, we're almost at 7 o'clock. And you're welcome, Tamara. Thank you for being here tonight. And, Gene has a sparkly heart. Wow. Thank you, Gene. Sparkly hearts are good.
Thank you, Steve and Michaels, for being with us tonight. It was very helpful.
You're very welcome, Barbara. Always
thank
a pleasure.
You very much. Yeah.
Always a pleasure to have all of you. And we look forward to seeing you next quarter if you're able to join us in the, whatever it'd be, I guess in the beginning of July for the next quarter. So, or end of June, one of the two. So, all righty, woman. Thank you again.
Steve,
hope that's been a
very nice
job, Michael.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, see you, everyone.
See everybody.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Take care.
Thanks, Steve.
By the way, everyone, I'll have the recording up on the website probably within the next week in case any of you want to re-listen. All right?
Thank you.
Good night again. Bye-bye.